Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Yeah, amen. I so love your heart and the way you lead. Yeah, I'm so thankful for Duff. During worship, man, I didn't ask for it, but I felt like God gave me like kind of two visions that were happening in this room. One of them first was like, it just felt like I was here looking out and I saw something lifting off everyone. Like burdens, it wasn't like specific things that I saw, it just looked like something was coming off. Like the cares of the world, the stress, anxiety, fears, things like that were just getting lifted off everyone in the room. And then I saw something specifically, I don't want to make you feel weird, Mary, but I saw you and I saw Mary Beza. Yes, you, not in between. Mary, right there. Not to make you feel awkward, but I saw you and I saw, it was weird, I saw, we've all been on a roller coaster, or at least have seen roller coasters, the new ones where they have the latch thing that comes all the way down in front of us. And it's got the handles right here. It's covering us, makes us secure on the ride. But I was seeing that the enemy has tried to, or at least has kept you locked in and taking you for a ride, on a scary ride. And the Lord wants to lift that up. Like I saw the latch of the roller coaster just being lifted off of you. I know that sounds really weird, but I'm like, that's what I saw. And it was getting lifted off, and that God wants to give you more freedom than you've ever felt in your life. Amen? So, I just wanted to share that with you. Got to be obedient and share what God shares with me. We're going to be in 1 Samuel today, chapter 15. I am not Pastor Steve. So, all up in there as well. But since the beginning of the year, I was really pursuing God. By the end of the year, the Lord had given me and Midia kind of a word of hope to end the year and to begin the year. And then to start the year, I was like, okay, God, now that the year has started, what next? And the theme and the importance of obedience and submitting to Him has just kept coming up in my life. It kept coming up in conversations that I'm having with people. And just in my own prayer time, you know, just wanting to be obedient to the Lord. Our need to be surrendered to the plan and purposes of God is daily. It's minute by minute, and it's in the small things and the big things. There's essentially no part of our life that God wants us to or thinks that we should handle on our own or in our own self-interest. Yet, unfortunately, I think we can all agree that a lot of our decisions reflect what we want more than what we think God wants. Now, this is a funny just antidote, but and it's not my life experience, but it's just a general experience that we can probably relate to. We're either married or have kids, or we have a parent that we've had, we've been given a list of chores to do, right? Or we have a job and a manager or boss gives us a certain task to do, and we got to follow it the best that we can the way that they're wanting us to do it, right? Now, would your boss or your spouse or your parent be equally as happy if you started those tasks or those chores, vacuuming, cleaning, doing the dishes, washing the dog, whatever it might be, and you stop halfway through? You finish half of the dishes, you vacuum half of the carpet, you wash half of the dog, which is a waste of time, right? You just do things halfway, but you do all of the things, but kind of halfway, you know, or maybe you forget one of the things on the chores. And instead, to make up for what you didn't want to do, you go to the store and you get ice cream and candy for your spouse or your parent or your boss. And you're like, you start eating that, and then you say, oh, I got it for you. Are they going to be just as happy with that? Or are they going to recognize you didn't finish your chores? You didn't do the job that I'd asked you to do, and you tried to supplement it by buying something for me, a gift or ice cream or whatever. I know that's a funny antidote, but would they be equally as happy? No, you can respond. It's okay. Yeah, I had my coffee. I hope you had yours. Yeah, I don't think so. I know my mom wouldn't be. She'd be like, Mom, I made you ice cream. She'd be like, cool, did you vacuum? She'd be like, you know, like the stairs, not upstairs. So God wants us to be doing what we're supposed to do, not what we think will make him happy, right? So does your spouse forget that the chores need to be done? No. The sacrifice of driving to the store and buying the ice cream doesn't cover up or supplement the importance of chores or incomplete chores. Now, on a much grander scale, and we'll be looking at scripture now, let's look at King Saul, and this is a much grander scale than chores. You might be familiar with King Saul or even the demise, the rise and fall of King Saul. But here in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, we'll start at verse 3, and we'll be jumping from 3, 7 to 9, then 19 to 21, but I'll call it out so you can follow. Here's how his demise all went down. So 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. This is God talking to Saul. Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that you have, all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep and camel and donkey. Now verses 7 and 9. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. He took the king of the Amalekites and kept him alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now verses 19 to 21. Why then, this is now Samuel talking to Saul, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Last chunk, verses 22 and 23. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So we see here that Saul was given specific instructions from God to go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. It's pretty specific what he's supposed to be doing. Saul follows everything except he spares King Agag and the best selection of cattle and all that they thought was good. Saul tries to justify his limited obedience by first blaming and saying, well, the people took the plunder, and then follows it up with, we plan to give it to you, God, as burnt offerings and sacrifices. So here we see that limited obedience is the same as disobedience in the eyes of God. We can justify all we want, why we disobey God or not allow him to speak to us. It's still disobedience. We can sacrifice our time, our energy, our finances on things that we think God cares about. But if it's not what he's asked us to do, then it doesn't matter. And I can relate to King Saul, and maybe you can too to an extent. Probably not in destroying nations and people and capturing kings and cattle, but by not always doing 100% of what God has asked us to do. Can anybody relate to that? Going halfway, just doing part of it, doing what you seem is easier and then letting go of the rest. Making up excuses in our hearts and maybe supplementing what he's asked us to do with something else that we think he'll like. Maybe God has asked us to cut off certain relationships in our life or influences. Maybe he's helped us overcome certain addictions or sins, but there's ones that just keep lingering, and we just haven't surrendered to him yet. He wants all of our hearts, right? Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts." As good as we think we are at serving God with our time, talent, and treasure, he's only ever looking at our hearts to see if they are submitted to him. We can't trick God into blessing us. We can't trick God in anything. He sees us. He sees our hearts. If he sees that our hearts are impure, but we're doing all these acts of service and praising the God really loudly on Sundays or whatever, but he sees our heart just being filthy and unsubmitted to him, then that's all that he cares about. That praise that's done for our own gratification, it means nothing to the Lord. It's just white noise, right? So God would rather us obey him than see us do amazing things in his name and call it sacrifice. Obviously, we're not called to be perfect, right? Nor does he expect us to be, but we are called to seek God about everything. And I've spoken to a lot of people this year about goals, spiritual goals and career goals, health goals, financial goals, relational goals. Some people have a lot of goals in their life, and it's awesome to have goals. We can come up with a lot of really good ideas, a lot of good goals for ourselves, and be convinced that it's what we're supposed to do because it's a good idea or it seems right to us. You know, maybe we set our goals according to what we heard on TV or on the radio or on a podcast or something we saw on Facebook or Instagram, something a celebrity or a politician does or has said recently, something that they do. Or maybe it's even something that I've said or Pastor Steve has said, maybe it's something we taught or that we do ourselves. So you're like, well, I'll do what they do. You know, like God's blessing them, or like I like them, I'll just do what they're doing. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? No. God can use about anybody. He can use anybody that he wants. He can use just about anybody to help guide us and to help us to meet our goals, to create goals, and to find out the purposes that God has for our life, right? We've all met certain people that have helped guide us in certain ways, pastors or friends or random people in our lives, right? We can all attest to that. God can use anybody, right? But ultimately, if he is not the one orchestrating our life and we are basing all of our decisions off of our own experiences and knowledge, it will always fall short of what's best for us, right? Do we agree? Yes. Now, a key point, doing what Pastor Steve does, key point. I don't have notes for you. I'm sorry. I'm not. One day I'll be good enough to do that. One day. But key point, everyone just knows, like, if I'm teaching, you have to, like, bring your own notebook or something. It's not going to be there for you. But key point here, the best that God has for you is always on the other side of obeying him. If we aren't sure if we are obeying God, you are possibly disobeying him, which is kind of a scary thought. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we have been bought and saved by Christ and have been made into temples of the Holy Spirit, not temples for ourselves, not temples for people that we love or want to be loved by. We are not our own. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. He abides in us as we abide in him. When we submit to God and allow him to own us, we lose the right to control our life. But we gain the right to be used by him. Amen. We have to relinquish control of ourselves in order for God to use us. If we are controlling our lives, God can't use us. And he won't use us because we think we got it all by ourselves. Think of Jonah. Jonah's the first guy that I can think of. God wanted to use him. He gave him a command, and then he just fled. God wasn't using him while the Ninevites were still in sin. Jonah was off doing his own thing, and God just kept pursuing his heart. Obviously, we know the story. Kept pursuing his heart until it shifted and changed and became in alignment with the will of God and the commands of God. But until he did that, he was in disobedience. His mission was failed, and the Ninevites were still in sin because Jonah had disobeyed the Lord. So God didn't force Jonah. I mean, it looked like it, kind of, right? But he could have, Jonah could have just been like, well, I'm just going to die here because I still don't want to go to the Ninevites. But his heart did change. So God wants to use us, but if we refuse to be used by him and to be utterly submitted to him, we can't be used by him, right? So now we might say, and I've heard this, and I think it myself sometimes, you know, we want to obey God. I want to obey God, but I don't know what he wants from me. You know, like you're going through life and you hear these sermons on obedience and something similar to what I'm saying. And you're like, well, yeah, I want to be used by God, but I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he wants from me. So you just go about your everyday life the same way that you did until you hope that God shows up in your room and speaks to you like a burning bush. You know, like I think a lot of people think that God will come and I'll only really do what God says if he shows up in that kind of way. In some grand, marvelous spectacle of a way, right? Sometimes we say, if I knew what he wanted, then I would obey. So the question is, what does it take to hear from God? And we all have probably our own list of ways of hearing from God. But I think there's three specific things that always have to be there in order for us to hear from the Lord. One is, you have to want to hear from God. First, it sounds dumb, but you have to want to hear from the Lord for him to speak to you.
Amen.
So what that means is, because I walk with a lot of youth and young adults and just people in general, and a lot of them want to hear from the Lord. They want to be used by God, and they're like, yeah, I want to serve God more, and you know, I really want to evangelize more. And I'm like, awesome, cool. Where's the evidence of that in your life, you know? And it's like, well, they don't put any extra effort into it, or they do all these supplementing things for it. You know, like, well, I go to church on Sunday. It's like, well, yeah, but what are you doing from Monday to Saturday? You know, are you preparing your heart? Are you learning the Word of God? Are you spending time in prayer to get in the heartbeat rhythm of the Lord so that when you are with people that are unsaved, that you would even be prompted to do it, that you would hear from God? Right? We can all agree to that, right? And people that say, like, well, I can't pray. Like, I don't know how to pray. Praying's just talking to God, you know? Like, it's like probably the easiest thing I could do. It's I can do it at any time. I don't even have to have my Bible with me. I can talk to God whenever I want, right? So you have to want to hear from God. And if you want to hear from God, there's evidence of that. There's making time and there's being patient, right? So people, you don't accidentally hear from God, right? It's intentional. You make time for it in the morning, in the afternoon, whatever time it may be. If you're wanting to hear from the Lord, you make time and you wait. And then number two, you have to be willing to do whatever he asks. It could be cutting off a relationship. It could be a love relationship or a friendship. Forgiving someone, that's always the hardest one. Admitting fault, another really hard one. Confronting addictions, another really hard one. And repenting of sin. All these things, God would be asking you, in order for me to use you, you need to cut off that friendship. You need to cut off that relationship. You need to move and at least confront these sins and these bondages that you have in your life. I want to use you, but you're stuck in the mud. You keep turning away from me to your addictions, to these relationships for fulfillment in your life, when true fulfillment and freedom is going to be in the Lord. So we need to be willing to do whatever he asks us to do. And then three, time and separation from the world. So we need to live a life without compromise, right? So the more we look like the world, the less we are in tune to hear from the Lord. 1 Peter 1 and verses 13 to 16. That's 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, it says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the salvation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" So God is holy. He created the world and is in the world, but He is not of the world. He calls us to be holy as well, to not be of this world. Now, at the beginning of this year, Media and I sat down. Media is my wife. Most of you know, I'm sure. We sat down with our youth, all of our kids, and we wanted to talk to them about setting, you know, spiritual goals, setting spiritual disciplines for their life this year. And we really wanted to hear from them. We both felt led not to just assign them specific goals or general goals individually or just as a blanket, like, "Hey, this is what we're all going to be doing." We felt like we wanted them to hear from God. A week or so later, we sat down again and everyone shared what they felt God had told them to commit to Him this year. And we were pretty blessed to hear diversity in their answers. Some of them, they're like, "I want to serve more." You know, like some of them have worship talents, like playing guitar and singing and playing drums, and they want to do that more. And I was like, "Awesome, cool." Some were like, I read the Bible every day or most days, but I feel like I walk away and I don't understand it. So I really want God to help me understand the Word of God more in my day-to-day life. It's like, awesome. Some were just simpler. I just want to pray more. I just want to be able to read my Bible more. All these things. And I was just like, this is so awesome. And they all were giving different reasons. They're like, "Well, I want to be able to, you know, grow in my understanding of the Lord so that when I can share the gospel to people at school, you know, or I could just live a life that reflects Jesus better." And we're not feeding them these answers. It's like God had definitely spoken to them and given them an idea or a sense of what He was calling them to. And we were just so blessed by that. So we didn't want to just create a goal for the kids that felt like homework, because that's easy. We wanted them to hear from God and follow His leading. Now, there are a lot of very good and sacrificial goals that we could come up with for the students, obviously. But if it didn't come from God, then we didn't want it. Obeying the Lord is always, 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 always going to supersede anything that I or anyone else could suggest to you or lead you to. God's word is always going to supersede it. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So every season of our life should have prayer, worship, and reading the Word of God, understanding it, studying it. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, He highlights certain disciplines that He wants us to maybe emphasize for a period of time. I can agree to that. I don't know if you can agree to that, but I definitely feel like He leads me in certain seasons to spend extra time in certain areas. Or maybe spend extra time with certain people. Maybe He wants us to wake up and worship Him with song before work instead of our normal routine. Maybe He wants us to get coffee with somebody that doesn't know the Lord instead of doing our morning devos. You know, we can get so caught up in the routine of our spiritual life and miss out on the opportunity to share the gospel with people because we're too busy at church, right? Too busy reading the Bible when there's people that don't know God at all, right? So obviously these things are what we need to be doing, obviously spending time with the Lord in worship, prayer, and studying the Word. But if it's not submitted to Him, if we're doing it just because, well, I've always done this, or I think I should be doing this, or that other guy does it, so I should be doing it too. If it's not submitted to the Lord and you're not doing it out of obedience to Him, then it's futile. We're not being utilized to our utmost potential, right? By God. He's like, "Thank you for praying. Thank you for reading the Word. But I ask you to go meet with Frank. Frank's going through a rough time right now, or Susie, or whatever. Like, you know somebody in your life that needs Jesus. You could probably, all of you right now, think of at least one person in your life that you know needs Jesus. And you've probably been prompted to talk with them, at least have a conversation with them, at least to keep the door open with them, and you haven't. But you keep coming to church, you keep doing your morning devotionals, you keep praying, and just hoping that maybe this person will magically, like, shift all around when God has maybe specifically asked you to do it yourself, right? He wants to use us. We just have to be submitted to Him. So every season of life should be filled with those things, but if it's not submitted to the Lord, it's futile. So the point of our walk with Christ is not just to do spiritual things that we think God might approve of. The point is to be obedient to Him in everything, because His ways are not our ways. God doesn't ask us to come up with a plan that we think is best in how to worship and love Him, right? Nor does He have a cookie cutter that He uses to shape us all into doing and acting the same way. He wants to tell us how you and I can individually love Him and worship Him. He wants to have a custom relationship with all of us. And I do believe that each genuine relationship with God is going to entail, you know, conquering sin and spending time in worship and prayer and studying the Word. But He wants to have and create special moments with each and every one of you individually. He also has special assignments for each of us that we're anointed for, particularly, individually, each of you. Obviously, corporately as the church, we're called to certain things to be doing together, to be united for. But He also has a calling specifically for our lives that we're called to obey. That I have, just because the rest of the church is doing the reading plan, maybe God wants to do something more in your life. Maybe doing the reading plan is about as much as you can handle, or as much as God wants you to do, because maybe you don't read at all. So maybe the church reading plan is perfect for you. Maybe that's what He's calling you to. Maybe He's calling you to read a lot more. Maybe read the whole Bible in a whole year. Whatever it might be. Maybe He's calling you to, every time you read your Bible, to be reading it with somebody else. To partner with somebody, to disciple somebody, right? We're called to make disciples. We're not called to just have our own spiritual life, you know, by ourselves in our house and in the safe place at church, the four walls of the church, right? We're called to branch out, to open up. So I just want us all to, like, just rededicate our time, rededicate our life, our every day. And even though you have a lot of things, and I know that all of you have a very good relationship with the Lord, you're here at church, you're faithful, I know that God is using you in marvelous ways, but I don't ever want us to become complacent. I don't want us to become complacent. I don't want us to ever think that, well, what I'm doing is enough for God. There's nothing that we can do that can really be enough for God, you know, like he died for us, you know, so there's no quota that we're trying to reach to where, you know, even if we feel, sometimes we think that because I feel good about myself, God feels good about me, right? Or like, because I feel good about all the things that I'm doing, that must mean that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. But that's not necessarily true, right? Because we read in the Word in Proverbs 21, it says, we did what the man does what's right in their own eyes. Meaning they're doing it right and they feel good about it. And then God's like, but that's not even what I wanted from you. And so I want us to re-look at everything that we've committed our time to, re-look at where we've committed our finances and where we spend our energy, and surrender it. And see what God gives back to us. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Amen. Like just submitting it as an offering to the Lord, saying, God, I know that I feel like I'm on track. I might be on track, but I'm not. I just want to be humble and give this back to you. My time in the morning, my time in the evening, my time with people, I want to have it all dedicated to you. And if we dedicate it to the Lord and He gives it back and He's like, well done, good and faithful servant, you're doing what I've called you to do. Or maybe He's going to be like, you know what? I need you to spend less time with this person. I need you to spend less time on this certain task or whatever that you're spending your time in. Like, we have to be people that are completely open at all times. We need to be open-handed people, not closed-fisted people, right? With our schedule, with our energy, with our time, with our thoughts. We need to be open to the thoughts of the Lord and His thoughts of us and His thoughts of others. Amen?
Yeah.
So He has a special assignment for each of us, and we're anointed for it. And then lastly, if you want to come up, I know we're ending a little early. I have more pages of notes than I've ever had, and we're ending earlier than we ever had. I don't know how that works. But it means we can have a lot of worship, right? So a life that is submitted to Christ is not monotonous or routine, right? It's a life of continual risk-taking faith. It's continually dying to self. It's continually being teachable. And it's continually obeying God, regardless of personal experience or knowledge. Nothing is boring in the life of an obedient follower of Christ. Amen? Lowell's got some testimonies, right? You know. And we've all experienced that in our life. When the moments where we've taken the most faith, it may have been the most scary. But do you regret it? Never. I never regret having faith. I never regret spending time with the Lord. I never regret submitting my life to Him, right? When we see the miracles that take place in our life and other people's lives, when we end up seeing that person that we've been praying for come to know the Lord, when we see somebody healed from a sickness, right? That's a miracle. It is a miracle. And we can't dismiss those things. And a life of a believer that's submitted to Christ is a life full of miracles. Right?
Amen.
And if you're not seeing miracles in your life, if you're not seeing marvelous wonders routinely in your life, then there's possibly somewhere in your heart that you need to resubmit to Him. God wants to use you in incredible ways every single day. There's not a day that goes by that God forgets to use you. It's just that we forget to be used by Him. We need to rededicate every single day. We need to redeem every hour of our life to the Lord and be in complete submission to Him. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to pray over you guys and pray over myself as well, that we would be people that are submitted. And if you want to stand up, I think that would be awesome. If you feel led to raise your hands or just put your hands over your hearts. But my heart for you is the heart of God. I love all of you so much, and I hate when myself, when I am limited by my frustrations, by my stress, by my anxiety, by my own personal goals, I can do a lot of good things. I can create a lot of ministry. I can create a lot of good ideas. We can all do that. We can all think of great ideas in how we can serve the Lord and love the Lord. But if it's not what He's calling us to, then it's not what we should be doing. So Lord, I just want to submit to You right now, God. Lord, I pray that You soften our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be Your people. We would be Your children. That we would reflect who You are. We know that the Israelites, they were Your children, but they were disobedient time and time and time again, over and over and over, and they were just wandering around in the desert for years and years and years. And a whole generation had to die off before they could be taken out of the wilderness. And some of us might be. Sometimes I am that generation that's just continually disobedient to You, God. Thinking that my ways, because they seem good enough or they seem good to others around me, that it's what I'm supposed to be doing. But Lord, that's not the case. If I didn't hear from You, if You didn't call me to it, if You didn't call us to it, then we want no part of it, God. And I just dedicate my life. I pray that we all dedicate our lives, our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, our ways to You, God. That we would be completely obedient, completely submitted to You. That You would humble us, Lord God. Relinquish us of the burdens of this world. And that we can just give it to You, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to hear from You. Reveal to us our weaknesses, Lord God, so that You can make us strong. We are strong in You, Lord God. So, Lord, we give this time to You. We give our lives to You. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.